How do your expectations for BYU football change in the new look Big 12? Plus, which sports in the conference will be stronger and weaker moving forward? Plus, the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, joins the show live from the Lone Star State to give us his thoughts on the current quarterback battle, the men's basketball offseason, and baseball's tone-setting victory in Austin.
Cougar catcher Colin Reuter is going to join us live from Austin as we look back to last night and set up game two later today. And speaking of baseball's win at Texas, which BYU Big 12 road wins stand out the most? I know right where you're going, but we're going to look at some others too. There haven't been a lot, but there have been some good ones.
Yes, and that little highlight people saw if you were watching on BYU TV probably gave away most people's answers. Welcome in to BYU Sports Nation, presented as always by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Friday, April 5th. We're already to the 5th of April. My name is Jason Shepherd, and this is a man whose baseball career peaked in T-ball, Dave McCann.
It did peak at T-ball, but then I grew up. And I was a better person for it. So I went on a mission to Texas. I was in Austin the night BYU's football team came down and upset the Longhorns in 1987. Last night, the baseball team was in Austin upsetting the Longhorns 7-5. You know where this is going, right?
Yeah,
I'm not sure either. But it's conference weekend. Spencer and Jeremy are home working on their talks. We told them, don't wait till the last minute. But here we are, and we get to kick off one of the best weekends of the year.
So you chose to go to a BYU football game instead of going out and proselyting. Is that what? Yes,
as a matter of fact. With permission, however.
That's good.
Okay, just a side story.
Yep.
So my dad came down. He's head of the Cougar Club. My companion was a BYU fan from California. We sat in the president's box. We ate lasagna and ice cream sundaes while it was like 95 degrees, while the rest of our zone was down there out in the heat. You know, was that right? I don't know, but
you were probably fine
with how it worked out.
Yeah.
And then BYU won, which was cool because you go down to Austin, you win. That's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, look. Hey, and Austin, I like the city of Austin. It's fun. We know how people feel generally about Texas. That was a big win for BYU baseball last night. I said it in the open, a tone-setting victory, 7-5, over the Texas Longhorns. That was a big win for BYU baseball.
Yeah, and they lost six straight, so they need to snap that to get their mojo back, try to climb into the middle. Remember, the 10 of the 13 teams go to the conference tournament.
Yeah.
So that's the quest, to get into that 10. And that was a big one.
Yeah.
You know, tonight's a big one, too, but last night, to start the series down there, considering coming off the sweep against Kansas, that was huge.
Absolutely. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
A new era of BYU football kicks off. And a throw to the end zone, and it's picked off in the end zone! Find space to the right. Martin's got a first down and more! A 10-5! The touchdown! A 29-yard touchdown run for L.J. Martin!
All right, however you feel about the Big 12 adding four teams, and I'm going to assume most people are fine with at least three of them. we know...
I think everyone's okay that Colorado came in.
There you go. Coach Prime, part of the Big 12. But it obviously lends itself to wondering how things are going to play out and what it means for BYU football in this new look Big 12 conference. So with Arizona State, Colorado and Utah replacing Texas and Oklahoma, how does that change your expectations for BYU football in the Big 12 moving forward?
Well, this group of 16, right? There's only so many bowl games. Last year, I think eight, maybe nine teams from the Big 12 went into the bowl season. Now they're adding four more teams to fight over the same kind of slot. So for teams trying to get bowl eligible, it makes it tougher.
Yeah.
There are more teams fighting for less. But at the same time, there's some winnable games with those teams coming in, whereas Oklahoma and Texas have been very difficult for teams to defeat. BYU went 0-2 against them this last year. But they get Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado. These new guys, can BYU beat all four of those teams? Absolutely they can. Do they expect to? Yes. But they could also get beat by all four. That's the beauty of this league. But I think there's more opportunities for success with these four coming in, but less opportunity to go get some things because it's a supply and demand thing.
Yeah.
Now we got a big group of teams fighting for the same stuff.
I guess if the, with the question being, how does it change your expectations? I think my answer is it doesn't change my expectations. Yeah, the teams change, and yeah, you're adding two more to the mix. But what I expect out of BYU and what I hope for BYU doesn't change regardless of who the teams are. Yeah, I mean, you're losing some massive programs when it comes to college football in Texas and Oklahoma, and you're certainly not adding anybody in terms of brand or history that compare to anything that those teams have done, or at least the perception of those teams big picture throughout college football. But it doesn't change my opinion of what I want for BYU. It's still going to boil down for BYU. Where do they land on the quarterback?
Yep.
How much better can the offensive line be? If those two things get solidified, I have the utmost confidence that the defense is going to take a step forward. I love what we saw last year based off of the previous season, the steps they took forward last year. I expect them to take another step forward. So I feel good about the defensive side with Jay Hill in charge. If the quarterback situation and the offensive line can get resolved, I love the skill players around it. So I think BYU will be in good shape regardless of who the other teams are.
I like BYU going to Salt Lake more than going to Norman. You know, they went to Austin last year,
yeah,
and we saw how that played out. I love seeing Arizona and Arizona State on the BYU schedule. I love that Arizona's coming up here this year, and Arizona State's in a major rebuild. And you know what? November in Tempe is a good place to be for the football team, and I love that. So as you look at the schedule, and you don't see Colorado on there, BYU's not playing Colorado this year, but the three that have added, I think, make that a better schedule for BYU. Not necessarily in general, because you want to see, when you see Oklahoma and Texas on there, you're like, okay, the storm's coming. And circle these dates just like we did last year. Losing them hurts, but the four teams coming in, I think, enhance BYU's expectations.
Well, the other part about this is we've heard for years, and college athletics in general have been trending this way for a long time, is that we're losing the region aspect, that the teams that are nearby and that regional feel, we're losing. Well, now those in the Big 12 kind of have the best of both worlds, because the ability to have some of these teams in your conference that are closer will cut down on some of the travel. You do have more of a history. Certainly BYU and Utah have a history, but you know, you're going to probably be a little bit more familiar with Arizona and Arizona State because they're out this direction. You've probably paid more attention to them. I think that somewhat helps. Now, in terms of changing expectation, that has nothing to do with that, but I think the overall feel of the conference will sort of, like I said, be the best of both worlds, where you're in a P5 conference and you have some of these other teams, but yet you can keep some of that regionality of having some of these local, closer teams, not local, to be able to play.
Look, I called a baseball game in the Big 12 in West Virginia, BYU West Virginia. I was surprised we were on the same continent by the time we got there, let alone the same league. So there are some outliers, but hopefully the schedule makers will go, hey, you know what, West Virginia, you don't need to spend all your time out west.
Right.
And the same thing, BYU, Utah, you don't need to go to Morgantown so much. Maybe you guys can meet in a championship game if you're good enough. But yeah, I love the regional thing. That's why I thought, you know, Colorado's been down for so long, but now their basketball team's in the big dance. Dion has got their football team with optimism. The Utes have been good. Arizona is now better than they've been in football. Arizona State is worse than they've been over the course. So you bring in a mix.
Yeah.
You bring in a mix of teams you can beat.
Well, the other part about this is the Big 12, as we've seen over the last couple of years, there's different teams have risen to the top in different years. It's not crazy for somebody that was in the middle of the pack or even down towards the bottom to have that one year where they jump up, because we've seen it happen a couple
right.
of times. Whether it's winning the regular season title or winning the Big 12 championship, the winning and winning at the top has sort of been spread around a little bit. And so it does give teams optimism that, hey, why can't we be that team?
You know, nothing replaces those two. You mentioned a moment ago, Texas and Oklahoma. That's why the SEC's got them, right? Because they are what they are. They are what BYU was to the WAC and the Mountain West. The biggest game for everybody. Doesn't matter which sport. If it was BYU, it was a big deal. In the Big 12, and BYU's just had one taste of it. If it's Texas playing anybody, it's anybody's biggest game. And Oklahoma as well. And that's the cachet that those two have. And BYU's had that cachet before. And now they're trying to find their way in this giant big league, as is everybody else. But that got us thinking. So there's all these sports. And if you lose Texas and Oklahoma and you add these four, are you stronger or are you weaker? And, you know, some are good arguments and some are no-brainers. We thought, hey, it's Friday. Let's go. Let's have our little quiz here.
Yeah.
You ready?
Let's go. Okay. Right, what are we going to start with?
Let's start with football since we've been talking about football. Is the Big 12 stronger or weaker having lost those two and gained those four?
This one was a tough one because from a brand standpoint, Big 12 is weaker. When you lose your two anchor programs and your biggest high-profile programs in football, it's hard to say that you are stronger. But from a, maybe an overall talents perspective and top to bottom, you're adding two teams. At the end of the day, I ended up going weaker. And I also want to say that when we say weaker, it doesn't mean that means they're weak. It just means from where they were before, are they as strong? And I can't. Yeah.
What
I,
Texas and Oklahoma yes. bring as opposed to what the four
I just, I landed on weaker. And you can't lose two teams like Texas and Oklahoma and say you're better. Despite what, you know, despite the talent that is coming in, I just can't say that you're stronger.
I'm going weaker. You saw the graphic a moment ago. What the street cred that Texas and Oklahoma bring is off the charts. They are the Big 12. They were the Big 8. They are the Big 12. And now the Big 12's got to re-identify itself. The national street cred, you can't just say, okay, you're assigned that. It's like telling Colorado and Utah, you're rivals now. It just doesn't happen.
Wait, they're not?
It happens just over history and time. So football is weaker because of those two leaving, despite the four coming in, based on national prominence, the footprint, the mystique, the history of success, and the fact that as you look around the Big 12, there's nobody that's everybody's biggest game now.
Yeah. All right, so what about basketball? We'll go men's basketball. Stronger or weaker with the additions and subtractions to the SEC?
I'm going stronger on that because of Arizona. And Colorado's gotten a little better. We'll see if they can sustain that. Utah's got a good coach. We'll see where they go. And Arizona State, they're kind of all over the place. But they at least have a history of being competitive. But you look at Houston, Kansas, and Arizona in the same conference. Are you kidding me? That's bad news for everyone
yes.
else. Texas has been hot and cold in basketball. Oklahoma has been the same. But Arizona trumps those two as a basketball power. Arizona carries the weight of these four newcomers, yeah. I think, in making the basketball league better.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's stronger. And adding Arizona is the key. Look, there's a reason why Brett Yormark reportedly was perfectly fine to just add Arizona and then maybe go after UConn. By the way, can you imagine if that's the way this played out?
I don't want to imagine
that.
From
a basketball standpoint?
I don't need that.
We're talking about the team that's likely going to win the national championship, yeah. possibly coming into this conference. I mean, obviously it didn't happen, but who knows what's down the road. But yeah, adding Arizona is what is the key here. And like you said, Colorado was an NCAA tournament team last year. They took a step forward in that program. Losing Texas specifically based off of last year hurts, but the overall add, in my opinion, makes the league stronger.
All right, women's basketball. You lose Texas, yeah. you lose Oklahoma, you gain the other four. Are you stronger or are you weaker?
I'm going to say weaker. Texas and Oklahoma were both very, very good. And Texas specifically, I'll tell you, I was so impressed with what I got to see that team up close
right.
in Austin. And they were excellent. So losing both of those is a blow for sure. U of A last year was just two games above 500. ASU was not good at all last year. Colorado was a Sweet 16 team. So like the men's program, the women's program was good. Utah loses Peely. So I really don't know how good they're going to be next year. So to me, the additions don't make up for the subtractions on this one.
Yeah, I'm going weaker. You lose Texas, national footprint, Elite Eight this year. They're always good. And they're the sure thing. You lose those, you're weaker.
All right, what about women's soccer? We obviously know how good BYU is in women's soccer. And this was a really good women's soccer league this year. Do you think they're stronger or weaker?
I think the league is weaker because Texas is gone. BYU beat Texas in Austin. These are the top teams. And then Texas beat BYU in the championship game for the Big 12 tournament. Texas is, you know, hey.
Texas.
They're Texas. You lose them, and you pick up these other four soccer schools. You're better with Oklahoma and Texas in the soccer league.
Yeah, Colorado is the best of the four coming in, but losing Texas is a big deal. The Buffalo is not enough to make up for the loss of Longhorn. So,
baseball.
Yeah, I'm going to go weaker.
Baseball, stronger or weaker?
I'm going stronger. And this is simple math for me. Adding three good baseball teams, because remember, Colorado does not play baseball. Right. So adding three is better than losing two. So you're getting one more good team than what you had before. So look, most may think that only about Texas here, but Oklahoma's first in the standings right now.
Yeah.
They're number one in the Big 12 standings. Still, I think, though, the additions make the conference an overall better baseball league, and it's a very good baseball league.
I'm calling it a push because of all those reasons. I don't know if they're better, stronger, or weaker because you add two warm weather schools, and traditionally they bring good baseball because they can play year-round, and that's the Arizona schools. And then you lose Oklahoma, who, again, you don't think of baseball when you think Oklahoma, but they are in first place.
They're first.
And Texas there, too. That's a tough one. I'm waiting to see. TCU might just be the happiest team of them all, just to go, all right, we're going to dominate everybody. But TCU's having an off season so far.
Yeah.
And they were picked to win the league.
All right, what about softball?
Softball, I'm going to say weaker. Oklahoma's been the toughest program in the country for the last 10 years. They're number one right now. Texas right behind them. No replacing those two, which is good for BYU. Oklahoma State, which has finished third behind those two the last few years, and everybody else.
Yeah, weaker. Oklahoma is dominant this year, and they've been dominant for a long, long time. Losing that program is a big deal.
All right. Women's volleyball schedule just came out.
Yeah.
And the Texas and Oklahoma aren't on it for the first time in forever for a Big 12 schedule. Stronger or weaker?
I'm going to say weaker. You can't lose the national champions and say that you're stronger without them.
I'm going to agree. And Arizona State in that group eliminated BYU in the NCAA tournament this last year. So the Sun Devils are legit as well. Utah's gotten better. Despite those four coming in, Texas is the king. They're the national champs.
Yeah. All right. Track and field, cross country. Weaker, stronger?
Weaker. Texas is a major player. The women are number four. The men are number seven. Yeah.
Weaker.
No brainer on that. But gymnastics, stronger or weaker?
I'm going to say weaker. Although I will say adding Utah certainly helps. We know how good the Red Rocks are. But both the Sooners and Longhorns are legit. Again, I'll kind of go back to the simple math. Adding the really good Utah still doesn't make up for losing the two really good Sooners and Longhorns.
Oklahoma's number one, been number one most of the year in gymnastics. I thought they just ran the option, the wishbone back there. They do more things. I love the additions, but the Big 12 belong to Texas and Oklahoma. So there is an identity rebuild underway.
So we've gone for most of these weaker. Are you surprised that that's the way this plan? Because I don't know if I felt that way going into this.
I think it's a tribute to Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's been their league. So now they're leaving and everyone kind of gets to move in. What the Big 12 did do to make itself stronger by bringing in those four is it eliminated the Pac-12 from the food chain.
Right.
And now there's just four P5s and that's good for the four. That's not good for the one that was been eliminated. Yeah. But you bring those four in and you strengthened your league because you have one less P5 to deal with.
Yeah, we're going to put this question out to you. Our question of the day is this. How will Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah, replacing Texas and Oklahoma, change your expectations for BYU football in the Big 12 moving forward? Our first response on X from @rchris2123. While Arizona and Utah should be strong next season, BYU can clearly play with anyone and are not afraid of either. Talent-wise, the conference lost the two biggest brands, but overall, the conference is better top to bottom. Very interesting. Continue to weigh in using #BYUSN on X, Facebook, and on Instagram.
There's more baseball tonight in Austin. Speaking of Texas, the Longhorns hosting the Cougars. BYU beat them last night. First pitch, 8:30 Eastern. Series wraps up tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 Eastern, both on BYU Radio and the Longhorn Network.
Coming up, the voice of the Cougars will join us live from Austin to recap baseball's big win against Texas last night. Plus, we'll get Greg Wrubell's thoughts on football and men's basketball as well. This is BYU Sports Nation.
The Cougs get the series opening win, stone cold Cushing.
To get a win in this-
this venue. Wow, that's just an all-time win for the Cougars. Goes to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we are done.
Hi, we are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. He is Dave McCann. My name is Jason Shepherd, and joining us live from Austin, Texas, he is the voice of the Cougars, coming off a hearty breakfast and a win last night in game one of the series. He is Greg Wrubell. Hello, Greg.
Hello, guys. Good morning.
So that was a fun one last night. You talk about tone setters. Look, and it's anytime you face Texas, we know how big of a deal this is. That was a nice way for BYU baseball to begin this series last night.
Yeah, and it had been 2 weeks to the day since BYU had last won a game. It was a win in the Lone Star State. They got the series opener in Lubbock, then they went 2 weeks without a win. And so, you know, those six-game ruts, you know, when are you going to climb out of it? And Texas was playing well. They'd won 5 of 7, 3 in a row. And so a really nice win to open the series. And now Cougs can play for their second ever Big 12 series win with a win either today or tomorrow.
All three of us here have the good pleasure of calling BYU baseball. And so we've got a feel for this team. Listen to the whole game last night. Nice job. I thought the glaring statistic, which will appear as a negative, is the 15 runners left on base in a game that they won. The positive is if this team can figure out some timely hits, they have the talent to make the conference tournament, which appears to be the goal.
Yeah, well, they took a step. Now, all's well that ends well when you leave 15 on base, right? It was a good thing they won, because you'd look back and rue so many missed chances. Two situations in the game where it's bases loaded, no one out, and no run scored. That's really unusual to have one of those in a game, let alone two, bases loaded, no one out, and not get a run across. But again, because you hang on and win, you can kind of look past that. I think a positive, though, and a step taken was where they were on the weekend. They were really stymied by Kansas. They had only 6 hits with runners on over the entire series against KU, Dave, as you know, and then they had 8 hits with runners on last night. So, yes, some runs were left on the board. Some big innings could have been huge innings, but they did hang on to win, and that's why you earned that 6-0 lead to have that cushion come in handy at the end, and it did. And a great bridge performance, too, from Ben Hansen giving you a solid 5 1/3. Mason Olsen comes in, bridges you to Stone Cushing. That was a really good formula last night, and one of Ben's better performances, I thought, too, till he ran out of gas maybe at the end. So really well done all around. It's a really potent offensive team in Texas. And so holding them to 5 runs, you know, scoring 7 is great, but Texas can score 10, 11 in a blink of an eye. So winning last night was well-earned, and I think in every respect.
Yeah, we know that one of the things with this team, there's the talent on the team is obvious, but you have some of that talent that's very, very young, and it's just going to take some time. And I think we're all starting to see some of that very young talent start to find themselves a little bit and get more comfortable. How have you felt about some of the young guys on this team as they've progressed through this season?
Again, a good step for guys like Chipper Beck, who hits his first home run as a Cougar last night. Keone Painter out of the 9th spot with a big 2 RBI base knock as well. So, I think you are. I look back sometimes at last year's box scores and last year's scorebooks, and I realize just how few of those guys are in this year's lineup. And that's a tough situation to deal with going into the Big 12 with really a revamped lineup, so few guys back from last season. So there's a lot of learning on the fly in a tough league to do it in. And so credit to Trent Pratt and his staff piecing this thing together and making it work. Again, they've played 5, so they're in their 5th Big 12 series now. They've picked up at least 1 win now in 4 of the 5 series. Now the task is to get a series win, which they can do today or tomorrow. So, when you lose a couple of arms you were counting on, which that's been the case as well, I credit BYU for kind of hanging in and grinding. This team does play hard. And even though they had lost 6 in a row, this wasn't a team that was fracturing or sagging or showing glaring weaknesses. It was a key hit here or there, keeping them from, you know, really winning a couple of games in that stretch. And so I thought it was a good reward for the team last night, because they have been working really hard and staying with it and staying together. And they compete. You know, it's a team with a lot of compete, and you got to appreciate that.
Last time you were in Austin was with the football team. That wasn't a great day. Our poll question today talks about Oklahoma and Texas now leaving and the corner schools coming in. Does that change your expectation for BYU football this fall and what the Cougars can do?
No, I think you guys had a good discussion about it and kind of hit on all the key points. You know, both teams, Oklahoma and Texas, have had their struggles over recent seasons. They weren't dominating the league in football the last few seasons. They had been, of course, the historical trendsetters, and Texas was exceptional this past year. But you bring in teams that have had sustained success in Utah or recent success in Arizona. But I think you put it well. The identity of the league now goes away. And so the biggest benefit beyond strictly numerics in bringing in three or four solid schools is that you put yourself in a position of stability when the Big Ten and the SEC are creating so much instability outside of those top two leagues. You're not going to disappear as a conference right now. And that's not something you can say about every league right now. The Pac-12 has already disappeared. The ACC is on shaky ground. So I think the Big 12 established itself as the next best thing. And, of course, the next big thing may be an entire restructuring of college football as we know it. But either way, I think the biggest benefit to the Big 12 with the additions beyond the individual aspects of the individual schools, their strengths and weaknesses, is the stability notion in a very increasingly unstable world in college athletics. And for football, relative to football, I think my expectations, I think, are the same. Try and be a top-tier team in this league and certainly end up in the postseason, which looked like a sure thing for most of last season until it wasn't at the end.
Greg, with spring football now over, what were the storylines that you were really following through that? I think we were all kind of hoping that there would be an announcement on the quarterback, but probably not surprised that there wasn't, that quarterback battle will continue into fall. But what were the storylines that really had your attention now that it's over and we can kind of look back on it?
Yeah, it's always tough to take so much away from spring because the games are 5 months away. I mean, you know, we're talking about practice. And so I think it's good for the coaches, great for the coaches, big for a number of guys looking to separate or at least introduce themselves in certain position groups. But I think maybe the biggest news was maybe the headline A-Rod made at the end with Jake Retzlaff's accuracy during spring. That's a great takeaway. If you can play an entire spring of 11-on-11s or the drills they chart and without throwing a pick, that's a really good sign. I thought Jake Retzlaff needed more stability around him last year. I think Keaton Slovis, because he was so experienced, was able to handle the things happening around that offense last year better than Jake because of where Jake was from an experience standpoint. And so the instability and the struggles in different position groups around the quarterback, I think really had a greater impact on Jake than they might have had on Keaton Slovis. And so I look for Jake to take a big step that way because the units around him should ideally and hopefully be a little better and stronger and more consistent.
Hey, I'm just impressed with the Allen Iverson reference. We're talking about practice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
It's an all-timer. Well, you know, right. It's multi-purpose, you know.
How much pressure is on the offense as a whole, going right to the offensive coordinator, to address the needs of last season, run the football? He's got to deal with a new quarterback and all of those things. But you got to produce points, and they didn't produce enough last year.
I think the fact that A-Rod is focusing so much on the run game aspect, it's tough to be one-dimensional and have a great deal of success these days. And so you look for that to be where it happens first and maybe best for BYU, but it's got to start with the offensive line. It's the one position group that's not dependent really on the others for its success. You can be independently successful as an offensive line, and then others can play off of you. So I think it really has to start there. And the new O-line coach is probably going to be as big a storyline as any as we move into fall. The addition of Coach Woods and how that group responds to him and the kind of people they bring in for him to coach, I think will be a developing and key storyline as we look at BYU football this season and ahead.
The voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, joining us here on BYU Sports Nation. We've touched on baseball. We've touched on football. Let's talk a little men's basketball. And obviously, everybody involved, left feeling like, man, we felt like we were going to be able to do more than that in the postseason. Now that it's done, what do you think is the missing ingredient with this team that this team really needs to make the next step in the progression of the program and to ultimately get where they want to go?
You know, I was watching Mark Pope this morning on an interview he did yesterday from the Final Four. With the field of 68 people, and he reiterated a point that I think kind of embodied this year's team. He said this year's team was essentially greater than the sum of its parts. You know, this isn't a team that relies on individual excellence, you know, to be an outstanding team. It's about how when the guys come together, they become a great team. And a lot of it was the fact that so many players were back from the previous season to this season. And ideally, a lot of the guys are back from this season to next season. I think those things will be as important as any, you know, organizational overhaul Coach Pope could envision with the talent level on his team. They need to, I think, you talked about missing ingredient. Whether it was the NCAA tournament or otherwise, I think the missing ingredient was enough players playing well together on the same nights. When that happened, BYU truly was greater than the sum of its parts. When it was up to one or two guys to try and carry this team, it was probably not going to happen because that's not how this roster was constructed. You weren't going to have those guys going off for 25, 30, 35 points that BYU saw a lot happen against them this year that kept teams in games. BYU really has to do it as a group and have the strength of the team be the team itself. I think that'll have to be the formula moving forward for BYU. And to me, again, that night against Duquesne, or that day against Duquesne and other games, was really a situation where too many guys having to pull too much weight and not enough of that team strength showing up with multiple players excelling at the same time.
Well, Greg, we appreciate the insight and the comments as always. We'll let you go and get ready for the game tonight in Texas. BYU baseball against the Longhorns. Thanks for joining us, and we'll all be tuning in tonight on BYU Radio.
Always a pleasure, guys, and here's to a series win in the Lone Star State. Thanks, guys.
There we go. The voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, talking baseball, football, basketball. I love it.
I hope he gets out there and gets some of those Austin fajitas, you know. You're there for a few days. You work some of those in.
So you told me you'd never heard the slogan, keep Austin weird.
No.
You'd never heard that.
Never had. And you know what? There's some weird things about Austin.
Yeah.
But it's one of the coolest cities
ever. It really is a cool city. I was there just like a month or so ago, and I was just amazed at how awesome the city is. And there was a mural that said, keep Austin weird.
When we were missionaries there, they said, whatever you do, you don't go to 6th Street. Because that's where all the bands were and all that stuff. So we never did go to 6th Street. But
what were you going to do? What were you going to do if the football game was being played on 6th Street?
Well, I'd apologize after. BYU softball's back in action tonight. They're playing in Orlando against UCF. Lost a one-run game yesterday. Live coverage 6 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Plus, why do you put me on the spot like that?
I just thought that was kind of fun. Up next, which BYU team has the best Big 12 road win this year? We'll discuss it next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout this Friday, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. Dave, Shep, Cubs, Cardinals. It's doing a show. Show on a Friday.
I almost brought my Cubs mug just to make a statement. But
all right, let's get to today's headlines.
BYU baseball beats Texas last night in Austin 7-5, jumped out to a 6-0 lead. Colin Reuter, the catcher, big night, 3-for-6 with a home run and 2 RBI. We're going to visit with him in a few minutes. Teams play again tonight, 8:30 Eastern on BYU Radio.
BYU softball dropped game one of their series to UCF in Orlando last night. Final score is 3-2. BYU was held to just 3 hits in the loss. BYU falls to 21-14 overall. They are 4-9 in Big 12 play. Game 2 will be played tonight, 6 Eastern time on Big 12 Now on ESPN+.
Men's volleyball, BYU's number 6. They're at number 13 USC tonight and tomorrow. These are the final two matches of the regular season. It's pole positioning now. The Cougars have a 1-game lead over Pepperdine for third place in the MPSF. Both games start at 10 Eastern. They'll be streamed on Pac-12 Live.
BYU Women's Volleyball's 2024 Big 12 schedule is officially out. Cougars will open Big 12 play on September 26th against Colorado in Provo. Cougars have their first home-and-home conference series against Utah for the first time since 2010 when they were both in the Mountain West.
It's been that long.
It's been that long.
The schedule's finally come out and they're back together. BYU gymnastics season ended last night after taking third in the second round of the NCAA regionals with a score of 196.500. Lindsey Hunter Kempler, BYU's highest score of the night, a 9.9 on the bars. BYU's 11th straight NCAA regional appearance, beat Boise State, got in there. That was a tough region with number 2 LSU. we congratulate the Cougs.
Speaking of congratulations, one goes out to the great Kyle Van Noy, signing a new two-year deal worth up to $9 million to head back to the Baltimore Ravens. Van Noy signed with the Ravens during the season last year and had a career-high 9 sacks. Congratulations to KVN.
BYU star forward and AP honorable mention All-American Lauren Gustin playing in tomorrow's Women's College All-Star Game in Cleveland at the Final Four. Game tips off at 3:30 Eastern Time. You can watch Lauren on ESPN2.
BYU Women's Soccer announced the signing of UCLA transfer midfielder and forward Mackenzie Vance. Vance is a senior, recorded 2 goals and 3 assists, and played in 20 games during her UCLA career.
Another Bruin to maybe help replace the Bruin that we just lost with the ACL in Wambach. Number 4, BYU women. Number 22, the men in track and field, going to compete this weekend at 3 different places. So they're spanning the globe. The throwers will be at the Triton Invitational. That sounds about right, in San Diego. Sprinters and jumpers split up, competing at Weber State Spring Classic and the Utah Spring Classic. So wherever you look, there's going to be someone from BYU doing something.
Will they be throwing a Triton?
No, I'd watch that.
That I would watch,
I would watch that.
At number 36, BYU women's tennis lost at number 23, Oklahoma, yesterday 6-1. They will look to bounce back tomorrow at number 8, Texas.
Yeah, that's a tough road swing.
Yes, it is. As for BYU men's tennis, they fell to number 3, TCU, 5-0 yesterday. They'll look for their first Big 12 win tomorrow at number 24, UCF. All right, those are today's headlines. It's now time to whip it. Cougar Whip Around, presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
As mentioned, BYU beat Texas last night in baseball, and so we got to thinking, which of all the BYU Big 12 road wins this season stand out the most?
Yeah, each and every one of our options were fun, but it does not get any better than men's basketball getting the win at the Fog, being the only team to go to Lawrence and beat Kansas on their home floor. That is the one.
Yeah, that is. That's the one. Women's soccer went to Texas and beat the Longhorns when the Longhorns were 14th. That was pretty good. Last night's win, pretty good. Volleyball won at TCU. Women's basketball went to Cincinnati and got a win. Football and softball struggling on the road. So, yeah, Kansas, congratulations. That road win, that's actually one of the biggest in school history.
No question about it. All right, do you like the move for Kyle Van Noy re-signing for 2 years with Baltimore?
I really do, and so does he. We were texting back and forth last night. He's going to have to go to training camp. Sorry, Kyle, that strategy last year of skipping training camp and then joining a team 4 games in, which is what he did, worked out really well. He had a career-high 9 sacks. So ESPN says the deal is worth a reported $9 million. That's $1 million per sack.
Not bad.
Nice job, Kyle.
Yeah, look, and the other part about this is, like, if he were to sign anywhere, it would be good for him because he's back in the NFL and he's going to be paid a lot of money. But this is such a good fit for him. They were able to use him well, as we saw with the 9 sack. I like the fit, and I'm happy that he's still in the league.
And you stay with a contender.
Yes.
To go get his 3rd ring.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
So got to go up against my Chiefs, though.
All right, Lauren Gustin. Can she get a double-double in the All-Star game?
If she gets enough minutes, she will, because that's what she does. I just don't know. I don't know how the minutes are going to be structured. Yeah. If she gets enough minutes, yeah, she can get a double-double. I just don't know if that's the way that this game will be constructed.
When Andy Reid leaves the Chiefs, are they still going to be your Chiefs?
Yes, they've always been my Chiefs.
About that for a long time?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, if you want to join Kalani Sitake, Jimmer Fredette, Spencer Jerram, a whole bunch of others, Chad Lewis, BYU's got this first cruise. They're doing a sports charter cruise. You can reserve your spot at BYUcruise.com. It's next April, leaving out of L.A., a week on the high seas. I think Greg's going to.
I think Jeremy and Spencer are going
too. Yeah, those guys are going to do the show, I think, from the ship, which will be something. But anyway, your chance to sign up, BYUcruise.com.
All right, after the break, we go live with BYU catcher Colin Reuter as we recap the big win in Austin and look ahead of the rest of the series against the Longhorns. This is BYU Sports Nation.
He hit that one to San Marcos.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Jason Shepherd along with Dave McCann. And look, we've already been to Austin once today. How about
Let's
we make
twice.
It twice?
The twofer.
We go live to Austin, Texas, site of BYU baseball's 3-game series against the Texas Longhorns. And one of the heroes from last night's 7-5 victory over Texas is joining us now from his, I'm assuming, the hotel room there in Austin. He's BYU catcher Colin Reuter. Reuter, thanks for joining us, man. How you feeling?
Good, good. It's glad to be on here. Thanks, guys.
You got that home run last night, your second of the season. You've been waiting for your bat to kind of catch up to you after all that time off with the elbow injury. Do you feel you're seeing the ball better now?
100%. I think it just, everything takes time, and just being patient with everything that you do, and just, you got to have fun while you're doing it too. So I'm glad everything is going pretty well right now.
Well, Colin, let's kind of piggyback off that question. You and I have had a lot of conversations, and I know how frustrating last year was for you to have to sit out and all the uncertainty that goes with injuries. What has this year meant to you, not just in terms of what you've been able to do when playing, but just the fact that you're out there available and playing? What has that meant to you?
I mean, it's meant the world for me, because I think those first couple of games were kind of emotional for me, just because it's been almost a year and a half of me not playing baseball, and being able to finally get back out there and play with the guys was something that really meant a lot to me.
How different has it been to come back and play in the Big 12? You're not in the WCC anymore. You're facing better pitchers. You're facing better hitters. And you're behind the plate as you get a front row view of some of these hitters. How different is Big 12 life from the WCC?
I would definitely say it's a lot tougher schedule, just because every night you're playing somebody that's really good, and each team in the Big 12 has got a chance to play with anybody in the country. So I think it's really tough.
I know you guys, prior to the win last night, had gone through a stretch where you'd lost six in a row, and I know that can be difficult, but I know you guys did not allow it to let you guys get down and get away from what you want to do. With that in mind then, how big was that win last night to really set the tone against this really good Texas team?
I think just us coming together and not allowing like this six road slide just take us down into a bad path, and getting right back into the good path, just hoping that we can get back on the right path again and just keep going and win a series here.
So there's a scene in Moneyball where the Brad Pitt character is talking to Scotty Hatterberg, Chris Pratt's playing his role. And he's saying, hey, over at first base, start talking to the guys, the opposing team, when they're sitting over there. You distract them, make nice out there. You're behind the plate where all those batters come. How much talking do you do to the opponent? Do you mix it up and have a good time, or is it all business?
It kind of depends. Like if it's the catcher, I'll usually talk to the catcher a little bit, just kind of the mutual respect there. But last night it didn't happen much, just because they weren't too friendly.
Probably, especially after the final out too, then I would imagine. Along those lines, as the catcher on this team, obviously you get to work with this pitching staff. Tell those that are watching and listening how what you've seen from this staff and just how good this team can be from a pitching standpoint as this season progresses.
Man, our pitching staff is really good, man. Like it might not look like it on the numbers, but our pitching staff, like, we got some dudes in the bullpen that when they come in, they're nails, and you can't beat them. So I'm proud of our pitching staff and how much they battled and coming into the Big 12 and facing some of the teams that we faced. It's just, I'm pretty proud of those dudes, and I'm glad I get to catch them every day.
Bryce Robinson will get the start tonight. He's pitched very well. So it's you and he, that's the battery, and then Abe Alvarez, the pitching coach, in the dugout. How does it work? Abe Alvarez calls the pitch to you and to Bryce, or how does that thing work?
So we have the pitch comm now. So I have a little device in my ear, and they have the little device that, like, goes into the bill of the cap, so they can just hear the, like, he'll push a button and it'll say what pitch is coming, and then there you go.
Do you like that, by the way? Has that made things easier or simpler?
A lot easier. I don't have to put down so many signs. A pitcher doesn't have to get confused, and then we get crossed up, and just, it makes things a lot easier.
All right, for drama's sake, so Abe Alvarez sends in a pitch. The pitcher shakes him off, sends in another pitch, shakes that one off too, and you're the middleman trying to keep both happy. How does that relationship work?
Abe just keeps pressing random buttons, and we see what pitch he wants.
You know, Colin, for those that don't know a whole lot about you, tell them your story and how you came to BYU, because, you know, some people may wonder how a how a guy from Mississippi, not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, how do you end up in Provo, Utah playing baseball? What was your story and how you got here?
Well, my high school coach was Trent's brother, so my whole life I played with Trent's brother. I've been with Trent's brother Russ since I was 9 years old. And then when I was about 14, he asked me to come to a camp out here, and I honestly didn't even know what BYU was. And then when I came out here, I fell in love with it, and I got the offer and then committed on the spot.
We may have Colin froze up a little
that
bit.
It was so deep that it froze as he was telling his story.
I'll tell you.
Here he's back.
There we go. I think we got him back. Oh, I can tell you that the fact that that BYU was able to land a guy like Colin was a really big deal. What has been your BYU experience? And obviously we talked about the injury and you had to kind of deal with that. But how has the overall BYU experience been for you?
Man, I love it out here. I mean, it's a second home for me for sure. Like, I sometimes still call it home. When I'm back home, I'm like, I got to go back home. And I'm like, wow, that was weird. I just called Provo home, and that was weird. But I think I fell in love with it, and I've loved every step. And just going through the journey here has been fun.
All right, let's finish up, Colin, with the keys tonight to get the Longhorns for a second straight game. What's got to happen?
We got to play catch, throw strikes, and just – We got to play the game the right way, and then that'll be the easiest way to win the game.
Let me follow up on that. The 15 guys left on base last night, a couple of bases loaded situations where you had a chance to just break the thing open, which is really frustrating for the hitters. How do you shake the frustration and see it more as an opportunity ahead of a breakthrough?
Just got to take a deep breath and just know that there's another pitch coming, and each pitch at a time, and just take it just like that and have fun.
Reuter, always appreciate the time. You're the man. You know that. Thanks for joining us, Dave. We really appreciate it. And good luck tonight as you guys continue on with the series against Texas. Let's go get a dub tonight.
Perfect. Thanks, Shep. Thanks, Dave.
You got it, Colin. Good luck tonight. He is such an important piece in the batting order. And when he's behind the plate, he's the commander of the infield and still just a young guy. Coming off 18 months of no baseball because of the arm elbow situation
and a lot of uncertainty. Yes, a lot of uncertainty. Like even if things heal, you're always in the back of your mind, can I get back to what I was before? That's always got to be any sport, any injury. It's always got to be in the back of somebody's mind. I am so happy for him that number one, he's healthy and he's playing, but he is such a good baseball player. BYU is so lucky to have him.
If they beat the Horns again tonight, it'll be because of Colin Reuter, for sure. Hey, if you missed any of our interviews or our deep blues, trending topics, all of our BYU Sports Nation content, you can find it at BYUSN.com, and it's free.
Coming up, a rise and shout-out to an all-star and a new contract for the initials. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, look at that. Our job shadow, our resident is here today. Alex Crane from Ocher Junior High is hanging out with us today.
All his friends are in class right now.
Yes.
He's here with us.
Not him, though. Not him. He's hanging out with us here in Studio B. Dave McCann, Jason Shepherd. Our question of the day
Whoa. He's a Cubs fan. Why would you leave that out?
I think you know why. Alex and Dave have bonded over the love of the Chicago Cubs.
Go way back.
That's right. All right, our question of the day. How will Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah replacing Texas and Oklahoma change your expectations for BYU football in the Big 12 moving forward? On X, Brad Schindler says, you can't include the Utes in this analysis considering they are slated to move to the Big 10 in 2025. That's right, just ask them. They'll tell you. They're going to the Big 10. It's already determined.
Little sarcasm in there. Happy BYU fan on Instagram. Utah's giving us a free win every year.
I love the way this is playing out.
A rivalry is never too far away.
Yes, all right. Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. On X from Walter Peterson says, I don't think it really does. I feel like the league is deeper and more competitive with the additions. We just need to win that game in Salt Lake City.
There it goes. It's right back to that.
It's all back to the rivalry.
And here's
isn't
the
it?
Cool thing. There's the 2-week buildup. Yep. Both teams with byes heading into that November 9th game. And you know what else? What other game has a 2-week buildup? The Super Bowl.
There we go.
That's it. So that game and that game. And our folks are already ready for it.
All right, today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Good luck to Lauren Gustin in the Women's College All-Star Game, and congrats to Kyle Van Noy on re-signing for 2 seasons with the Baltimore Ravens.
Van Noy is forever young.
Yes, he is.
And playing great football.
Thanks to today's guests, Greg Wrubell and Colin Reuter, both joining us live from Austin, Texas.
As always, the conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand at BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Jason. Shout out to Brian Sue. Enjoy your general conference weekend. BYUSN back on Monday. Go Cougs.